Welcome to Pop Culture Podcast. My name is Spencer, and for those of you who are new or just don't know, this podcast is basically just an audio version of my videos over on YouTube, which you can find if you go over to YouTube and type in the search bar at The Film Punch. If for whatever reason you can't find me over there, you can also find me on Instagram at The Film Punch, and the link in the bio should take you where you need to go. But yeah, not only can you find the video version of what you listen to over here, but you can get it earlier, so highly recommend going over to the YouTube channel and subscribing. Thank you very much. Very much appreciated. As for this episode today, I have two reviews for you. I'm going to be starting off with my review for Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice from 2016. I believe it's a 2016 movie at least. And yeah, that's going to have a little bit of spoiler content in there. So if you're a person who hasn't seen the movie and you don't want any spoilers for that, then I will tell you that the second review, which is for 2014's Whiplash, is over on the YouTube channel. Go watch it there if you don't want reviews. Don't want spoilers, that is, for Batman v Superman. I don't know exactly how long you'll have to skip ahead, so the easiest way to do it is just to go over there personally, in my opinion. And that's just more incentive to go over there. But yeah, two reviews, Batman v Superman and Whiplash. But yeah, that's all I have for you in this episode today. So before we get into it, let's thank today's sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which, if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So yeah, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Thank you all so much for listening. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at The Film Punch. And like I said before, should be able to find my YouTube channel if you type in the YouTube search bar at The Film Punch. But if you can't find me there, you can also find me in the link in the bio of my Instagram, which again is also at The Film Punch. I'm not super active over on Facebook, so the best ways to kind of see what I'm posting are over on YouTube and Instagram, as I said before. The end of the episode is where I just kind of ramble about whatever I want to talk about, really. And as of right now, I don't really have anything I want to ramble about, so probably just going to cut this episode short. I appreciate you listening once again. I will see you in the next one. Alright, so 2016's Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice is directed by Zack Snyder, written by Chris Terrio and David S. Goyer, and introduces Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne slash Batman. It also brings back Henry Cavill as Clark Kent slash Superman. We also get introduced to Gal Gadot as Diana Prince slash Wonder Woman, brings back Amy Adams as Lois Lane, introducing Jeremy Irons as Alfred, Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White coming back from Man of Steel, Diane Lane coming back from Man of Steel as Martha Kent, new to this film, Holly Hunter as Senator Finch, and the villain of this film, or at least one of them, is Lex Luthor, played here by Jesse Eisenberg, which is a very controversial casting choice for that character, and I won't lie, I don't like Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I like him as an actor, which, by the way, I really need to rewatch, or watch all the way through, I should say, The Social Network and review that for the channel, because I've just heard nothing but good things about that movie. But yeah, he is just not right for this role, and honestly, at times, he kind of sounds like Mickey Mouse, so I will say it. I will go out, I will die on that hill and say, Jesse Eisenberg is horrible as Lex Luthor, but I don't think it's his fault, and I don't think I'll be dying on that hill alone. But yeah, I think I mentioned everybody in this cast pretty much. And of course, you know, you get introduced to Batman, so they feel the need to show the origin, which, you know, it's done artistically in this movie, but in a lot of movies, it's kind of done artistically, I would say. So, you know, it's not fun to keep seeing it over and over again with so many different reincarnations of Batman. And it's nice that the Batman from 2022 didn't do that. But in this film, Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays Thomas Wayne and Lauren Cohan plays Martha Wayne. You might recognize both of those actors from AMC's The Walking Dead, which is a show that I personally fell off of a long time ago. But yeah, I was debating on making this a spoiler review or not a spoiler review. Honestly, it's been out since 2016. Most people who wanted to watch it probably have already watched it. I'm not going to like spoil everything that happens in the movie, but I will say this, at least in the cast, we also get small cameos from Jason Momoa as Aquaman, Ray Fisher as Cyborg, and Ezra Miller as The Flash. Excuse me, I feel like I have hiccups coming. Terrible feeling. Especially every time I record, I feel like I have hiccups, you know? So I don't want to experience that this time around. But yeah, those are cameos. I'll mention that real quick. Terrible cameos, just the way that they're introduced to this universe through emails. Just videos in an email. Just the dumbest shit ever. So yeah, you know, good job trying to be Marvel. You know, they tried to build Rome in a day. I don't think they succeeded in that. But yeah, I watched this film back when it came out in 2016 in the theater. And even then, I knew that I hated this movie. And upon rewatching, both times that I've rewatched, you know, I've only seen this movie three times, once in theaters and both at home. The both times I watched at home, I watched the Ultimate Edition, which is a rated R cut. Honestly, I think it's just for some extra violence and just to see Ben Affleck's bare ass. But yeah, I mean, it is considered the better version of this movie. It is 3 hours long, you know, for that runtime. Does it make this movie better? A little bit, but not quite enough to really make this movie fantastic for me, which it definitely isn't, because there's so many things that they try to do in this movie. I think I actually have it written down on this paper here. This movie was trying to do so many things in one film. It was trying to introduce Batman, Wonder Woman. It was trying to set up the Justice League. It was trying to be a Man of Steel sequel. It was trying to be the DC equivalent of, you know, Captain America Civil War. And not only that, but they shoehorned a bunch of characters in that could have been saved for the future to make things feel a lot less messy. You know, is the idea of Batman v Superman, you know, a Batman fighting Superman in a movie, is that worth making a movie about? When you get down to the fight of it, which it takes a really long time, especially in the Ultimate Edition, it takes a really long time to get to that. Not necessarily, but at the same time, the fight is so fun to watch. And in the Ultimate Edition, as opposed to the theatrical, I'm pretty sure the theatrical doesn't do this, but in the Ultimate Edition, it does switches to the 4:3 aspect ratio that it does in Zack Snyder's Justice League. And when that happened, I was just like, oh yeah, this is badass. And I very much enjoyed the scenes of them fighting. I think those are some of the best scenes in this movie, if not the best. That being said, it doesn't last very long. It probably doesn't even last 10 minutes of them fighting until they're on to the next thing. And that's where the disappointment comes in, because the movie is called Batman v Superman, and most of the runtime is just about them hyping up the fight, and then they fight for a little bit, and then they're just like, all right, we got another fight to go to. And the friends I watched this with, the first time I watched this in the theater, they loved this movie. They were hype about it. And I'm sure there were some people that liked it too. I'm sure there's people that still like it to this day. Comment down below if you like this movie. You know, for me personally, there's things I like about it, but I wouldn't personally say I love or like this movie even really. I don't know, maybe I like this movie, but I don't really like this movie, if that makes sense. But yeah, they really enjoyed it. And when I came out of it, I was just so bitter about it. I was just like, what movie did you watch? Because that movie was terrible. You know, I was just so pessimistic about it. And over the years, you know, it's grown on me for sure. I still see so many issues with it. But, you know, there's things in particular that I won't completely mention here that that make me enjoy it more than I did before. And partially because of Zack Snyder's Justice League, there's things that they do in there that actually make the experience of this movie, you know, enhance because of what they do in there. So that, you know, kudos to Zack Snyder for being able to do that and kind of change some opinions that I had about a previous movie that he had. But I will say this, the opening scene of this movie, you have Bruce Wayne going into Metropolis as it's being destroyed, as Zod and Superman are fighting. And, you know, I said before that the scenes of them fighting are some of the best in the movie. I lied. The best scene in this movie is actually in the very beginning of this film. You don't even see Bruce Wayne as Batman. You just see him going into the city. And to be fair, he is trying to just save this, like, random dude named Jack that we don't even fucking know or care about. But it's just so impactful when you see him run at this falling building into the debris. And he's, like, saving a fucking kid and shit and, like, helping one dude who has, like, a pillar on his legs. And it's just like, damn, dude, this is the shit I wanted from this movie. And then, I love that aspect about the film. But it's interesting the way it plays on the way Batman and Superman and how Clark Kent and, you know, Bruce Wayne, how they feel about each other and vice versa, you know, if that makes sense, how they feel about not only, you know, Bruce Wayne feeling about Clark Kent, but especially Bruce Wayne feeling about Superman, you know, what he thinks about him. They both have their opinions and you can kind of see where both of them are coming from. But at the end of the day, Batman kind of feels like more of the villain in here. And, you know, they do things in here like him not being, you know, him not really having regard for human life. Him basically going out there and, like, killing the criminals. Which is a much different take on Batman. Which is something I'll actually bring up here. Jeffrey Dean Morgan would make a great version of Thomas Wayne in another universe. Because in the Flashpoint comic book, Thomas Wayne is the one that becomes Batman. Bruce Wayne is the one that dies in the alley. And I've always thought Jeffrey Dean Morgan would be awesome as that version of Batman. But honestly, we kind of got that version of Batman in this movie here. And, you know, I don't mind the way they portray Batman in here. But I don't love it. And we only get maybe two, maybe three scenes of him where he really does feel like Batman to me. You know, the warehouse fight, I would say, is probably the best Batman moment in this movie. And I would say that scene I mentioned in the very beginning is probably, like, the best Bruce Wayne moment. You know, I can see, for me personally, I feel like I can see Ben Affleck better as Bruce Wayne than as Batman. I think I like his Bruce Wayne more than this Batman in this movie. Because at times, they almost feel like two different characters. Especially when you get towards the end when the fighting stops between Batman and Superman. And then the fight kind of focuses towards all of them trying to fight Doomsday. He becomes a little bit more of a comic-y kind of guy. Which, narratively, just, it's such a huge tonal shift. And, I don't know. There's a lot of weird decisions in this movie. Even with the 3-hour runtime, there's things that feel kind of sloppy and messy. And, you know, I mean, it's not a great movie, in my opinion. It's really not. But yeah, the whole thing about the emails in there, they shoehorn those in just to kind of like introduce the Justice League. And then by the next movie or by the time you get into Justice League, you're like, oh yeah, I kind of know those characters. Oh yeah, I remember that one guy, he was buying milk and then he just kind of stood there and then the lights went freaky. And that other guy who's just kind of floating around in the water. And then he, like, threw a trident at some shit. Then there was the other guy that just, you know, had a whole body made out of a cube. But, yeah, it's just, like, that's not how you introduce those characters. They literally, like I said, were trying to build Rome in a day. They wanted to rush this universe. They wanted to be Marvel so quickly. But they didn't realize that Marvel took many years to get to the point where they're at. And they're still building and they're still learning. And it's just like, you can't do that all in just a couple of movies. And I think at this point, when it comes to James Gunn being, you know, the head of DC, or at least one of the heads of DC, he has a lot more vision for that kind of stuff. He's worked with Kevin Feige, so he knows that you gotta build it up slowly. And This is literally just the second film in the DCEU, and they're already introducing the entire Justice League, and it's just like, and then they do the whole, you know, spoiler alert, but Death of Superman plotline in here with Doomsday. It's just like, these are things that you could have saved for other movies and made this movie feel a little less convoluted. But instead, they just wanted to shoehorn everything in there, and they just wanted to, like, get to the Justice League as quickly as they could. Yeah, I mean, and as for Henry Cavill as Superman in here, Clark Kent, I mean, he's fine, but I feel like he kind of gets pushed to the side and gets made to look kind of weak, and I don't know, I just never really cared for his portrayal in here either, really. When it comes down to it, I'm starting to realize that I just, the more I talk about this movie, the less I like it. Which is unfortunate, because I wanted to come in here and say, oh, it's not all that bad, it's not the worst thing, but, you know, it has not many redeeming qualities for me personally. It has a few really cool scenes that hit hard. I do think that Ultimate Edition is the better version of the film, so I would watch the Ultimate Edition if you were going to watch this movie. But yeah, I mean, there's the whole dream sequence in this movie that just kind of feels like it happens out of nowhere. It just, like, comes out of nowhere. And I remember the first time watching this, you know, I was a fan of DC. I can understand, like, stuff with the Flash, like Barry Allen talking to him and stuff like that from the Speed Force. Sorry, I said this wasn't gonna be like a huge breakdown or anything like that, but I'm like saying a bunch of stuff. But yeah, I mean, like, for the most part, I can understand that stuff. I think I remembering now, in the theater, I couldn't really tell what he was saying, because I kind of had to watch breakdowns when I got home later of what he was actually saying. Don't ask me what he's saying now, because I can't tell you what the whole speech was that he said, but he was basically saying how Lois Lane is the key. And, you know, when that happened in the theater, I'm like, I get it. It's, like, supposed to be the Flash, right? You know, I'd watched the Flash with Grant Gustin on the CW previously, so I had familiarity with it, but at the same time, it just felt so, I don't know. It felt like a Jack in the Box. It felt like they were just going, and then it, oh, we need a cameo from the Flash. All right, here we go. Oh, want to see this alternate universe of evil Superman and shit like that. I'm just like, what are you, and to think that it really doesn't even go anywhere when it comes to, like, these DCEU movies. We're not going to see where that goes, because, you know, I mean, it kind of went places a little bit in the Zack Snyder's Justice League, but they just kind of built upon what was there and didn't really explain what was going on or what it was leading towards. They didn't really do anything with it, I feel like. So it just kind of felt like a waste of time. And I know this scene that I'm mentioning, the dream sequence or whatever, it happens in the theatrical edition too. So it's just like, that doesn't feel necessary. Again, it just feels like, hey, let's shoehorn this plot in so we can set up this future thing, which, excuse me, might not even happen. You know, we're going to get the Flash movie. We're going to get, you know, we obviously got Justice League, so we got some of it, but it never feels like they fully held up their end of the bargain and showed everything they were kind of teasing to show, you know, so it's inevitable. I thought it was going to be inevitable that this universe would fail eventually and they would probably reboot the whole thing. Maybe they should have done it sooner rather than later, but yeah, I mean, this film isn't great. I would probably give it a discounted ticket, and that's me being nice to it, honestly, because I do think it has a few really solid scenes. Like I mentioned, the very beginning scene, the fight scenes with Batman and Superman, I think are pretty solid. You know, Gal Gadot, I think, is pretty cool as Wonder Woman here, but again, she kind of feels a little shoehorned. But yeah, for the most part, not the worst movie I've ever seen. It's not Morbius level of bad, but it's kind of getting there, and they're at the same time, Morbius kind of felt simple at times, and then this movie is just like, there's so much here to, like, unpack. It's a 3-hour movie. You know, they fit so much into that 3-hour movie. You know, a 3-hour movie shouldn't feel like it has way too much going on. It should feel like, oh, we're spreading this story out. But no, it's just like, all right, we're doing this. All right, we're doing this. All right. It almost feels like Zack Snyder and the writers at times have ADHD while they're writing the film. And yeah, I mean, no disrespect to them personally, but yeah, this one just ain't for me, dog. So yeah, like I said, discounted ticket for this film, 2016's Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. I know that probably wasn't my best review, but it's getting late, and I feel like I'm just going to keep coughing if I keep talking, so I kind of got to cut it short. I apologize. So, yeah, tell me what you thought of 2016's Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I definitely enjoy aspects about this film, but I wouldn't quite say I like it, so that's just me personally. Have you not seen this film? Are you planning on watching it anytime soon? Why or why not? Comment that down below. Oh my god. And really anything and everything, I would love to hear from you. And a question for you to answer down below. Do you think I should review all the DCEU movies that are out right now, at least? Or do you think I should just stick to, you know, the next one I do is Justice League and then Zack Snyder's Justice League? I would love to know what your opinion is down below. But yeah, leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next one. All right, so in case you aren't following me on Instagram, which is at The Film Punch, by the way, I posted a story on Christmas Eve saying instead of watching a Christmas movie, I chose to watch 2014's Whiplash, which is the movie I will be reviewing for you today. It's written and directed by Damien Chazelle, stars Miles Teller as Andrew Neiman and J.K. Simmons as Fletcher, and is about a promising young drummer who enrolls at a cutthroat music conservatory where his dreams of greatness are mentored by an instructor who will stop at nothing to realize his potential. And yeah, great cast in here. Miles Teller, fantastic. A lot of people don't really know, like, didn't really know a whole lot about Miles Teller, didn't really see him a whole lot, and didn't really just, like, I don't know. People weren't on the Miles Teller train until recently with Top Gun Maverick, of course, where he played, I wanted to say Goose, but no, he's Goose's son, Rooster. I think he was fantastic in this in that movie, but I also think he was fantastic in this movie. And I mean, this is the introduction to Miles Teller for me personally. I watched this in maybe like 2015, I believe, somewhere around that time frame. So I was around, you know, 14 to 15 years old, which is, you know, this type of movie. And I'm not trying to, you know, pat myself on the back, toot my own horn or whatever, but this typically isn't the type of movie that a 15 to 16 year old, or not 15 to 16, but a 14 to 15 year old would be interested in. And even at that time, this is a movie that I instantly fell in love with and knew would be out of my top 10 for years to come, and it still is. And I mean, it's not just because of the two great actors in here, Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons, of course, but it's also the writing, it's the camera work, it's, you know, the cinematography, camera work, same thing. You know, it's just the directing in general. I think there are so many things that this movie does right, and I have very few complaints. Only complaint I will say right off the bat is there's one story beat in here that feels a little unnecessary and a little too on the nose because of something that happens previously that's kind of mentioned. And if you've seen the movie, maybe you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't seen it, hopefully that doesn't give anything away if you do go and watch this movie, which I highly recommend doing. But yeah, it's actually based on a 2013 short of the same name, where J.K. Simmons still played Fletcher, but Miles Teller was played by somebody else. And forgive me, I didn't look up the name before doing this review, but I know his last name is Simmons, and I was like, huh, is he related to J.K. Simmons? He's not, but I do recognize the actor. I can't remember his first name, but he was in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, so you might be able to find him from there. But yeah, that's who played Andrew Neiman in the short, and then they made this movie, and Miles Teller became Andrew Neiman. There were also a couple people in there that remained in the film, but they were more kind of side characters, so I just didn't mention them here. Apologies. But yeah, also in the cast, we have Paul Reiser as Jim Neiman, plays the father to Andrew, of course. And Paul Reiser is somebody, isn't he in, I want to say he's in Goonies, but I could be wrong. I think I'm mixing him up with the other guy on Stranger Things, which I can't remember his name at the moment. But yeah, Paul Reiser, I believe, is on Stranger Things. Can't remember his character's name, but he's one of the doctors that works alongside Dr. Brenner and whatnot. You know who I'm talking about if you watch the show. But yeah, he's great in here for the little bit that he's in it and has some really great moments. He is a fantastic actor, so it's just great to see him in here. Melissa Benoist as Nicole, who some of you might recognize as Supergirl on the CW. This is the first time I saw her before Supergirl, and I don't know. I mean, what she's given in here is fine, but I don't think the writing is necessarily tuned to, like, really give her anything to do other than just kind of be a love interest for a little bit there. Hopefully that's not a spoiler saying anything, but yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to see Andrew Neiman. You know, he's a drummer who wants to be like one of the greatest drummers of all time. And he works really hard. He pushes himself. He is definitely, you know, he definitely kind of has some mental issues when it comes to, and you know, people could kind of look at this different ways, but I feel like he kind of has a kind of OCD type of thing when it comes to drumming, which is something I can relate to, having OCD. You know, mine at times can be extreme more than others. You know, I can have flare-ups where I just want to clean and just, like, have things be perfect, and it kind of seems like Andrew Neiman has a lot of that in here, as well as J.K. Simmons' character, Fletcher, who is the teacher in here. You know, they have a lot of similarities, and that's why those two characters kind of butt heads in this movie. And it's just so fascinating to see these two characters who have two different personalities but similar traits at the same time, and just seeing how they kind of connect, you know, even though at times they can both be completely awful. You're like, you know, I can kind of see where both of these people are coming from. I can kind of see why they're doing what they're doing. It's just what they're doing might not be right, but it feels right in their heads. And, you know, I've been talking about Miles Teller. I should talk about J.K. Simmons, but the last thing I'll say about Miles Teller before I get into J.K. Simmons' character, which, you know, is the character everybody wants to hear me talk about. Yeah, Miles Teller did know how to play drums before going into this movie. He has been playing drums since 15, I believe. I have it written down. Yeah, he's been drumming since 15 and took additional lessons for 4 hours a day, 3 days a week for this film. I'm not sure what that time frame was, but yeah, I mean, in this movie, he absolutely kills it. You could buy him as, you know, honestly, one of the greatest drummers of all time. He has moments in here that are just incredibly impressive. And meanwhile, you have him doing these impressive things. You also have J.K. Simmons as Fletcher just screaming in his face, telling him to play faster, telling him to play better. And, you know, it's just, you kind of get to see him right up until his breaking point, and you get to see a little bit of that breaking point, and then it's, you know, kind of an underdog story at times, you know. I'm really trying not to give anything away, so if I'm talking kind of weird right now, it's just because I'm, like, really trying to dance around stuff, because, sure, this might not be a Marvel movie, it might not have super huge spoilers or anything like that, it might not be a super, super complex movie with a lot of layer. Well, it does have a lot of layers, it does have some complexities for sure, but, you know what I mean, it's not one of these big blockbuster movies that, you know, if you spoil one thing, people will freak out and, you know, bash you online. But you know, this is one of those movies, since it is one of my favorite movies of all time, I really do want people to go watch it. So it's really hard to actually review this film, which doesn't, you know, make for the greatest review I know, but you know, again, it's just one of those movies I feel like you guys really need to go watch. I think you would very much appreciate it if you watched it. If it is a movie that you haven't checked out, you know, if I haven't said it enough already, definitely go watch this film. I'm not sure exactly where you can find it. Maybe HBO Max, maybe Hulu. I'm not completely sure. Maybe on Netflix. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But you can probably look that up. I do have it on my Vudu personally, so that's why I don't know off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, Miles Teller is fantastic in this film, but the real standout for a lot of people in this film is J.K. Simmons. And that is because he's essentially Gordon Ramsay if he became a music teacher, but like times 20. He's throwing cymbals at people's heads. He's throwing chairs. You know, he's slapping people. He's yelling at them. He's saying some just horrible shit, you know. And I'm going to say, like, one of these words tops, you know, faggot. Like, that's a word he says quite a bit in this movie. And if that's something that makes you uncomfortable, I mean, maybe don't watch it. But at the same time, it's very important for his character to belittle people like that. And literally, when he's saying stuff like that, you don't know for sure, you know, because you don't always know the character that he's saying these things to. And when he's talking to Miles Teller's character, he says things that are kind of directed towards his character in general. or specifically, yeah, you know what I mean. But he says things that are targeted towards him, you know, saying things to make him feel bad about his life, his situation, and whatnot, taking his own history and using it against him, to, you know, essentially try to make him better. But from the outside looking in, it's just a man screaming at somebody, saying just the worst stuff nobody should ever say to anybody. But, you know, it seems targeted. And when he says stuff like that to other people that you don't really get to know throughout the movie, you wonder how much of that is true and, like, how hard he's actually going with these people, which, I don't even want to think about that aspect. But at the same time, J.K. Simmons plays it so perfectly, to the point where, I mean, you gotta hate him, but at the same time, you freaking love him at the same time, just because the dialogue is offensive and inappropriate, but it's also just completely hilarious, if you're willing to take that kind of joke, you know. And, you know, maybe it's not quite a joke, maybe there's some elements of it to be taken seriously, but at the same time, it's meant to be there to, like, shock you and be funny for the most part when it comes to a lot of that stuff. And then once it starts to get more serious, you know, chairs start getting thrown, people start getting slapped, that's when the laughs start to die down a little bit. But for the most part, J.K. Simmons, he is so fun to watch. I mean, he's like J. Jonah Jameson, essentially, on crack in this film. Fantastic. But yeah, I mean, as for everybody else in the film, as aside, you know, aside from Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons, they get a little, I guess, to do. Melissa Benoist is the one that, you know, out of the people I mentioned, probably gets the least to do. But Paul Reiser, I think he has some great moments as Andrew's dad, and yeah, has some interesting family moments and family dynamics there. But yeah, it's easy to see Fletcher simply as a sociopathic music teacher obsessed with perfection, but there's subtle things that they do to peel back the layers with him underneath to show that he is also human, and that, you know, there are elements to him that are kind of likable in at times, like I was kind of saying before, and not quite with, you know, making it just so funny that he's being so offensive, but, like, times where he is a genuine human being, times where he comes down to that human level, and you get to see kind of the layers underneath, and see that he's more than just, you know, Gordon Ramsay, essentially, you know what I mean? He's more than just J. Jonah Jameson, he's more than just that screaming music teacher, he has layers to him, and, I appreciate that, because this movie easily could have just made him the bad guy, and that would be that. But they decided to actually give him depth to a point where you can kind of understand where he's coming from. And by the end, you don't necessarily hate either people, even though they both did horrible things. You know, maybe one more than the other, but still. Yeah, and the ending, by the way, is one thing I want to mention. The ending of this film, I won't spoil it, obviously, but it's a ending that I've watched on YouTube so many times. I've probably watched it hundreds of times. It's probably my favorite ending to any film ever. Probably my favorite movie scene ever, to be honest. Which, by the way, top 10 favorite movie scenes would be an interesting, video to do. I might do that at some point, but that would take a lot of time to put that together. So we shall see how long that would take, but... speaking of which, top 10 favorite and least favorite of 2022 lists coming soon. Not sure exactly which days, but they will be back-to-back, you know, one after the other. Not sure if I'm going to post the least favorite or favorite first. Probably the favorite first, to be honest, because that's the one that everybody wants to see. But, yeah, back to this movie. Not going to talk about it for too much longer because, again, I don't want to give a whole lot away. But, yeah, I mean, Miles Teller in this film... You can see where him and Fletcher have their differences and similarities. As I said before, they have their kind of narcissism. They have their OCDs about stuff. And they both are striving for greatness. And, you know, the reason why they butt heads and the reason why... I don't know. You know, I'm just going to leave it there. Because if I say anything more, I feel like I'm going to kind of get myself into a hole and not be able to get myself out in terms of saying a little too much about the movie. But, I'm pretty sure that's pretty much all I have to say about this film. One story beat in this film. Yeah, I'm just making sure I don't have any other notes I should read. Oh, one more thing. Oh, can't believe I almost forgot to talk about the music in this film. So I'm not a huge fan of jazz music personally, with films over the last few handful of years or so. With this film, obviously, and then films like La La Land, Soul, those movies have gotten me more into jazz as a music form. Is it something I actively listen to? Not really. If I do actively listen to any jazz music, it's literally just the Whiplash soundtrack, which, by the way, there's a 5-minute drum solo in this movie. If I didn't give you reason enough to watch this, I think that should give you plenty of reason to watch it now. But yeah, jazz is something I'm not a huge fan of, but in this movie specifically, jazz is, and the music of this film is honestly a character in and of itself. So yeah, I mean, when the music can be part of the story, that's when you really capture my attention with films like Baby Driver. I think Baby Driver, you know, the music in there really kind of told the story and drove the narrative. And this film, even though there's no words to it, it still does what it needs to do. It accomplishes what it needs to do extremely well. So, you know, I mean, a lot of this in here is actually music that existed before, I believe. Don't quote me on that. Like Caravan and Whiplash, I believe those are songs that existed before this movie. But yeah, I mean, like the way they use it to their advantage, and the way they wrap a scene around one whole song, it engages you with not only the music in general, but like the drums and the saxophones. It engages you, I mean, the drums more than anything else, because obviously you're focusing on Miles Teller drumming, but, you know, it's almost like you're just circling the drums. You're just kind of watching from up above, just seeing a concert, I guess. I don't know. That's the best way I can describe it. But, yeah, I'm starting to get to the point where I can't really describe things very well. It's starting to get late. I apologize. Kind of a weird review because I'm dancing around not really saying too much about the movie. But, you know, I'm going to reiterate this for the very last time. Please, please, please do yourself a favor and watch 2014's Whiplash. But have you seen 2014's Whiplash? What did you think about it? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I love this movie. I would definitely give this a premium ticket, premium subscription, highest price, you know, A+++++. One of my favorite movies of all time, as I said before. And have you not watched this film? Are you planning on watching it anytime soon, or really planning on watching it at all? Why or why not? I would love to hear from you. Really, any comments, I would love to hear from you. I respond to pretty much every comment. So yeah, anything and everything down below. But yeah, leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next one.